Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio.
It's Monday the 13th of March, Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk. Gary Lineker could be back on the TV this weekend as the BBC is set to back down over his controversial tweets about the government's migrant policy. Rishi Sunak has promised an extra £5 billion to the UK's military spending to fortify our national defences and counter threats from Russia and China. Thousands of junior doctors start a three-day strike today, which will see thousands of operations and appointments cancelled. Thank you very much indeed for your company. Very much appreciate you joining me. And extraordinarily, we're waking up to the seventh day of front page headlines about Gary Sodding Lineker. Yeah, and we're going to talk about him too, because, well, funnily enough, the story's not really about Gary Lineker, is it? It's not really about the government's migrant policy. It's not really about tweets. It's actually about the BBC. It's actually about a taxpayer-funded institution, because yes, the licence fee is a tax, because you go to prison if you don't pay the fine. If you don't pay for it, that makes it a tax, not a civil dispute. And we're forced to pay for the BBC, whether we watch it or not, whether we agree with the views of people or not. And that's part of the deal. If you work for the BBC, you get £1.35 million as a wage and all of the other stuff that comes with it. Then you just have to keep a bit stum. It's not a freedom of speech debate. It's a national institution debate. Well, we're going to be having that debate once again today. All that we're going to chat about with my top guest joining me all this morning. That's Emma Revel from the Centre for Policy Studies. Good morning to you.
Morning, Julia.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Gary Lineker, where do we start? I mean, OK, just from what we know today so far is that Tim Davey, the Director General of the BBC, is flying back in from Washington, where he's been, and there's going to be crisis talks with Gary Lineker. Sources close to Gary Lineker in his camp apparently are saying that they believe there will be a resolution. He'll be back on air this weekend after, of course, awful lot of the BBC's football coverage over the weekend was basically completely ruined by the fact that not only was he not on air, but pretty much everybody else walked out in stunning and brave solidarity. What do you make of the whole affair?
I'm stunned that we're still talking about it.
I'm sort of sorry about that.
It's not your fault, Julia. It just never ends. There are so many different facets to it, as you say. You know, people are talking about it from a free speech angle. Yeah. People are talking about the government policy that was actually criticised. Is it about BBC impartiality? Is it just about a lot of people don't like Gary Lineker?
Yeah.
At the end
There's
of the day,
of that,
is
there?
A factor. He is a personality that does split opinion. But I think it's fairly...
I mean, he's a smug-looking git, though, isn't he? Good Lord.
He splits opinion. Lots of people like him quite a lot, especially if you're a big fan of Match of the Day. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it does appear that he's broken impartiality rules. You can talk about whether they should apply to him or not, which I think is a different question. Mm. But as it stands, he's broken the rules. Yeah. The BBC need to sort it out, and the BBC are making a hash of it.
I mean, they really are, aren't they? I mean, he's sort of basically sort of proving, I'm bigger than you. Mm. Let's face it, ITV have probably spent the entire weekend just sort of dangling checks for 2 million, 3 million, I mean, he can name his price at this point. ITV would be thrilled to have him, because what they will discover, as they've done with virtually all the people they have poached, is that actually most of these people don't bring their audiences with them. Mm. And people watch, you know, people watch a match during a World Cup or a European Championship, because that's the match of the week that you watch, frankly, whoever is doing the commentating.
Yep.
I personally really enjoy watching Gary Lineker, and I think he's a great presenter.
Yeah.
I think I'm not one of those people. I think he's a smug git. He's got quite a lot. I mean, I think England captain, and you're earning all that money. I think he's got quite a lot to be smug about. I'd probably be smug if I was Gary Lineker. But I don't hate him in that way. I find him very enjoyable to watch. I think it's hilarious that Match of the Day figures went up by, was it 23% when they said they weren't going to have any pundits? But, I mean, someone was suggesting, why don't you just get rid of the football as well? Then it would be a much-watched TV show, because people were just tuning in to see what was going on. But that shows, you know, there are people available to watch who are choosing not to. Bit of a giveaway there. The key thing for me is, you see, it's exactly it. It doesn't really matter at this point, like what Gary Lineker tweeted, in the sense that, you know, there is a social media impartiality rule. Mm. The question is who it applies to, how strictly it applies, and did Gary Lineker break it? And it does appear that he did. And lots of people are on social media for the last 6 days quoting some, you know, a few years old social media guidance about who it applies to. And yes, look, you know, if you're Laura Kunzberg, then absolutely it applies to you 100%. Mm. I'm always fascinated by the number of people who think they know how Laura Kunzberg votes. Genuinely, I've known the woman relatively well, having been in the lobby with him. I have no idea, quite genuinely, what her political allegiances would be. And then you've got the, you know, the people who are working in other fields, and you think, well, of course it doesn't apply to them as much. Of course it's not as important, you know, if you're presenting a nature programme or a pop programme or a sports programme. But if you are high profile, then it does affect you more, because you're seen more as a voice of the BBC. And there's no doubt at all. I mean, people my age, I remember watching Gary Lineker play. But, you know, if you're a 20 or 30 year old, and you know, he's the man who advertises Walker's crisps, then he's on the telly.
Yeah.
And that's how he's known. And the fact that he's on the BBC is why he's relevant. It's why he's able to get that multi-billion pound deal with Walker's crisps. It's why he's able to do a lot of the other work he does. And he's a national treasure for some people, because he's on the BBC. And with that, that's part of the deal, is you have to keep strong. What about the issues with people like, say, Lord Sugar, and comments that he's made?
Well, I think this is the problem. There are lots of different people you could look at who are associated with the BBC, who work for the BBC in lots of different ways. And I think one of the issues with the Gary Lineker situation, I believe, is that he's a freelancer. He's not a BBC employee.
HMRC aren't entirely convinced by that at the moment. There's an ongoing debate. But
so it's hard to work out. I think the guidelines aren't clear. But there are lots of other figures, as you say, who are associated with the BBC, like Lord Sugar, like Karen Brady, for example, who do make political statements and do comment on political affairs, and the rules aren't necessarily all applied in the same way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Gary Lineker has broken the rules, but I think he's also a little bit entitled to be aggrieved that
if he's allowed to break the rules, why am I not?
Yeah.
But I mean, again, the key thing here is, you know, like Alan Sugar, is he was a Labour peer. And the big issue originally was Tories were complaining about him being a Labour peer on the show. But he wasn't on because he was a Labour peer. He was on because he's a, you know, multimillionaire businessman. And that's the shtick. As opposed to, but then Gary Lineker was, you know, England captain.
Yeah.
So, you can make this argument. And that's the key thing here. Is like, what are the rules? And if people don't know what the rules are, then they're not proper rules, because it's not fair. And the rules have to apply to everybody. It needs to be clear, you know, over a certain level of prominence. And when you get appointed to a new job, we agree whether you are or you are not within these new rules, which say you can't tweet about this or that. My main issue is also is that people say, well, everyone should be allowed to say what they want, certainly if they're not political journalist or a news journalist at the BBC. The trouble is, there isn't freedom of speech at the BBC. Everybody knows that inside the BBC there is there's a Guardian Easter culture. I've spent a lot of time at the BBC. It's Remain, it's Labour Lib Dem, Guardian reading, you know, tofu munching. It is. I mean, that is the identity. I have had two cameramen since Brexit come up to me working on political programming saying, oh, I agree with everything you say, completely with you on Brexit, but for God's sake, don't let anyone else here know. And that is, you know, that, and I know other people that's happened to as well, that it's actually not career-wise a sensible move at the BBC to say, whatever, you know, oh, I'm pro-Brexit or I'm Tory or, yeah, I think we need to have limits on immigration. You will be finding your career being very quickly stifled. And that's reality. They don't exercise the same rules that they expect to have exercised on them.
It's just an incredibly difficult situation because there are so many different layers within the BBC, yeah. And impartiality is of critical importance, yeah. to the news team. And I think, by and large, they do it incredibly well the vast Absolutely. Majority of the time.
Do you know what Chris Mason thinks about anything?
Almost no idea. And that's how it should be. And it just becomes more and more tricky when you look at the other facets of the BBC about where impartiality applies, yeah. there. And as you say, I think the problem is the guidelines are not very clear or they're not applied consistently. Yeah. And that's what throws up problems.
I mean, what about Richard Sharp? I mean, the chairman of the BBC. I was amazed. A number of people said to me over the weekend, oh, well, you know, you're angry at Gary Lineker. What about Richard Sharp? I've said on air very, but I think Richard Sharp should resign. I think it's absolutely outrageous that he remains in his job. A Tory appointee, he used to be, you know, Rishi Sunak's boss, and he was an advisor, and then he helped to organise an £800,000 guarantee for a loan for Boris Johnson in the middle of the process for being appointed, and didn't declare it. It's untenable that he remains. I mean, I'm not party political about this. I just want some vague recognition of appropriate behaviour. In our public institutions.
I think that's why this story has rumbled on a week. You know, yeah. we've both said it's ridiculous that this is still going on, but actually there are so many different facets to it. Yeah. Whether it's about the way the BBC is run or the way Gary Lineker behaves or the government's actual immigration policy in and of itself, yeah. which is where this all started, but is absolutely not what the conversation's about anymore.
I think what we need to do is go back to 1930s Germany. Apparently, that's what we do now, anyway.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.